Blog Talk Radio.
Our destiny is greatness, people. Why?
Because God did it.
Come on with it.
Talk to him.
Hey. Hey. They can eat in the morning.
You know why they yawning, yawning.
You know why they yawning, yawning, yawning.
Talk to him.
Come on, eat.
Get them out the way.
Come on.
Hey, God, where about that?
We loosen the food bank.
The story.
It's happening. Colossal!
Our destiny
is greatness.
Talk to him. Hey. Good morning, folks. I would scream at you guys, but I won't. I would, but I won't. I'm not going to do it. This is our back-to-school series here on Nick and Eric in the Morning, and I'm very excited. This is the conclusion to our back-to-school series, and we're titling this particular episode, The Economy of Education. We're talking about going to college. We're talking about the significance of it and the significance of paying for it, okay? Half of you are going to be in debt. That's just the truth. And another heavy chunk of you will not be in debt. You will find a way to have your education funded. And I'm here to let you know that it is very, very feasible, very, very possible. And Nick and I spoke to that last week on the episode that we had about funds for college. We were really, really hyped about this episode, this being a very, very good follow-up to that, okay? Now, listen here. I've got a fantastic special guest for you guys. That's who we got Wednesday. And I heard somebody say, who you got, okay? Well, you thought you'd never ask, but I'm glad you did. Okay. Today on Nick and Eric in the Morning, or as is temporarily, Batito and Eric in the Morning, I've got a very, 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 very wonderful special guest for you guys. You are in for a treat. You are in for some very, very valuable, very, very poignant take-home insight about the collegiate level of education and journalism. And the economy of education, okay? This man's resume is simply getting out of hand. So every year it gets a little more out of hand, a little more harder to delineate here. First of all, he's embarking upon new endeavors or a new start, if you will. This year he's moved to Cincinnati. He's got a new home for his family. He is the Journalism Fund Director at the Scripps Howard Foundation in Cincinnati. He's from Hampton University, where we crossed paths. In Hampton University, he was not only one of my all-time favorite professors, as you all know, we remember those, but he was my professor in two different facets of my college career. He was my professor at Scripps Howard, where once I left, he had become assistant dean at the Scripps Howard School of Journalism and Communications, the assistant dean for academic affairs. But he taught me in a media, at visual media, I believe it was, at Scripps Howard. But he was also the director of the Leadership Institute, the William R. Harvard Leadership Institute, at Hampton University. Prior to being at Hampton University, there's just a litany of media and journalism credits that he has: the Virginian Pilot, the Sun Sentinel. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of stuff here. The Daily Press, the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Like I said, the Richmond Times. There's just so much expertise that he has, and he's joining us now. Dr. Batito Beck, what's happening?
Eric, I tell you, if I ever am having a bad day or feeling a loss of confidence or feeling down on myself, I'm going to remember to give you a call or to maybe listen to your show, and hopefully that will be very uplifting. I'm doing great. It's wonderful to be on with you guys again and getting prepared for the start of a for another busy day. But it's going great. I'm glad to hear that you all are doing so wonderful with your show, and you all are continuing to deliver a message to the masses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely, Dr. Betts, most definitely. We're plugging away. We're keeping at it. And I thank you. You've been one of our return guests, our favorite comeback and always good every time special guest. And we thank you for that. You're a part of the show, basically. That's what this has become. This is an extended Nick and Eric crew. We hope that we've been good to you in whatever way, I guess. Hopefully.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I always appreciate you all indulging me and at least giving me the opportunity to at least provide some insight and some viewpoints on a number of things. So I appreciate that. And the topic that you all are talking about today, which is the economy of education and college, that's a very important topic.
Yeah.
Very timely and something that you can talk about really any time. But certainly now with, you know, school just started back and people really getting into the groove of it and
right.
thinking about college. And the first thing I would tell you, the first point I would say is that it is never too early or even too late to think about a college education, because no matter what point you get your education, it is going to be life-altering. Whether you are someone who decides to go to college right after high school and get your degree on someone who's, you know, the traditional college student, or if you're someone who has been in the work world for a number of years and decided that you need to go back and get either your first degree or another degree, it is a life-altering experience on a lot of levels. And so that's why it's important that we talk about it. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Oh, yeah, sweet. I'm glad, and I hope the move has been pretty sweet, and that you're enjoying your new home out there in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Cincinnati's been wonderful to me. The only thing I'd say that is a drawback is, you know, I'm a Steelers fan here in Cincinnati, so that can be dangerous, but
you're still in the same division.
Yeah. So, but they treat me well despite that.
Cool. Well, I've got Le'Veon Bell on my fantasy team, so hopefully, we have a good season, at least with the running back. Now,
oh yeah,
yeah. I know absolutely nothing about Cincinnati. I know the Bengals. That's what I know. It's funny you said that, because that's like my whole knowledge of Cincinnati. What reputation does Cincinnati have that you found to be true? Is it a certain vibe or something about Cincinnati that I don't know? Is it a Mormon town or I don't know what?
you're from Philly, no? Right?
Right.
Okay. So it's what I would say is Cincinnati is an old city, not quite as old as Philadelphia, but it's a old city that has a lot of culture, a lot of you know, history, and you have a lot of distinct neighborhoods, and you have lots of you know, customs and things that go on here throughout the course of the year that really make it a city that's very, very rich. And, you know, from the standpoint of food, certainly, and they love beer out here.
They love beer.
It's a huge German influence out here, so they love beer, so there's plenty of that. There's always some sort of festival going on, and
cool.
You know, it's just a great place. You know, I've been out
sweet.
Here now for 9 months, and it's been wonderful.
Sweet. I can't wait to someday visit. Now,
yeah,
I know, and we'll jump right in now. I know you alluded to a few minutes ago that. Your education will be a life impacting endeavor or a life changing endeavor, no matter when you embark upon that or when you decide to do that. So basically what you're saying is that it's perfectly fine to feel like you need to wait if you can't fund your own education immediately. There's no huge loss from that.
For a lot of people when they think about it, when they make the decision, you know, on whether to go to college, it is an economic decision. And I mean, let's face it. I mean, it is, you know, college is expensive, and it's going to cost money. No matter whether if you're going to go to a 4-year school or whether you've chosen to go to, you know, community college, it's going to cost money. Now, what the question is, as you pointed out, how do you finance that? And so, the first thing I would say, okay, if you are a parent and you're raising, you know, a child who you really have high hopes for and you want them to go to college and that's what you see in their future, then the best thing that you can do is to try to prepare them by making sure that they earn good grades while they're in school, K-12, and that they can perhaps maybe earn a scholarship to go to college to help to defray the cost. And that's first scenario. But so then if you're an individual and you're a student and you're thinking about, you know, wanting to go to college, if you can get scholarships, that's great. But if not, then you have to think about, obviously, the student loan route or some other sort of aid route, and that may help you. Or if you have to, you know, pay out of pocket. So there's a lot of different ways that you can come at it. But what I would certainly say is that, yeah, you can delay it. If you must try to figure it out, but I think that it is a bridge that you're going to have to cross at some point, because the fact of the matter is that to get anywhere in this economy, in this society, you have to have education. There's just no two ways around it, unless you're fortunate to maybe strike it rich on something from an entrepreneurial perspective, or if you're the type of person who likes to play the lottery and you get lucky there. Any other way, you got to have the education.
Right. Now, what I said that I find personally that happens, that I kind of see, is that I feel like many students, lazy students, if you will, or if I may, maybe just afraid students, maybe just fearful students, students who never really got along well with school, and don't really understand, as I constantly try my best to preach, that school, that many of us don't like school. More people than they believe don't like school, but we see school as a means to an end, and we do what we need to do to get where we want to get and to have what we want to have. And I find that many students, maybe they're not lazy, maybe that's kind of bad, but. They run to lack of funds as an excuse. They cling to that because they know that they can give that or say that, and we're fine with it. You know, we will let them underachieve because there's nothing that we can rebut them from that. You know, because they know that college is expensive. They know that everyone knows that they're poor. They know that. They know that everyone knows how expensive college is, so they say, "Listen, this is just what I'm doing right now." Now, what is your response to the high school senior that says, "You know, Dr. Batts, college is not for me. Not because I'm not smart enough. Not because I'm not gritty enough. College isn't for me because I just can't afford it. I just have enough support." I just don't have enough support from my family. I'm supporting myself, and nobody's offering me money to go. Is college tuition that real of a hurdle, or is it more often than not an excuse?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, someone's making an excuse that they feel, you know, they're fearful about college from a financial perspective. I mean, there's a lot of people who, you know, from a the standpoint of finances and really just affording life day to day and really being concerned about where the next meal is going to come from, you know, and really not being able to see the big picture or long term because of the finances and who are struggling, that perhaps maybe that can be the idea of thinking about going to college is just not a reality for them. Because, again, you know, they may have come up through a very tough environment and not had a lot of support. But what I hope would be is that particular person or scenario that you're talking about, hopefully there's somebody in their life who is trying to fill into them hope for the future and to be able to see beyond where they are currently and that there's and that there's better opportunity for them. So that's where, you know, that would be the role of someone in high school, school counselor or teacher or somebody in their community, you know, a mentor, so or someone who believes in this person, who's able to uplift them. And, you know, just to talk about it on a broader scale, that's why, you know, in some communities, unfortunately, where we see that, you know, lack of future or lack of success can breed lack of success, because if you don't have a lot of people around you who have achieved a different level of accomplishment than you have at this point, then you don't really have a lot of examples to really pull from and say, okay, that can be me. I can go to college. Because how do I know that? Because my neighbor did that. How do I know that? Because the guy who I hang out with at school, his brother's doing it. And so if you don't have a lot of examples around you to see that, hey, you can do it too, then it does become a challenge. So then what I would say is it is incumbent upon people like me who have the opportunity to interact with young people to be able to inspire everyone at any given point that you have the capability of going further than you are at this point. You have the education. There are, if you don't have funds, there are ways to help to get your college education funded so that we don't allow that to be an impediment. So we need people to step up and to see the value that young people have and to not allow their future or their dream to be deferred for lack of finances.
Nice. And I guess that's why I look at it sometimes as an excuse because well, I mean, maybe they don't know that. Like you said earlier, they don't know about scholarships, student loans, and they just don't want to enter that world because what they say is, you know, I can't fund my education. But what it seems like they tell themselves is that, you know, I cannot go to college and be just fine. You know, I don't know that there's these other things out there for me to use to pay for college. But since there aren't, like, I'm not going to look for them because why look for those things when I can just be fine without it, when I can just succeed without it? Because, as you said, my parents didn't go to college. My neighbors didn't go to college. No one else went to college. So, you know what, why should I do extra? Why should I try to be extra when that's what it is? It's just extra. But it's not extra. And I want all high school seniors to know that there's so much that even that little piece of I know it's funny. After graduating, many of my classmates said, "Man, we put in all this work. We did all of these classes, and we were here for 4 years, and we gave this thing all that we gave it, and this is what we got. We got this piece of paper." It's funny because sometimes when you think about it that way, like, well, this is a piece of paper, then you may think it's just a piece of paper. But what they don't understand is that it's more than just a piece of paper.
Certainly,
if you can realize exactly the capabilities that come along with that piece of paper, then you try to reach for more than you've ever seen around you. But I know it's hard when you haven't been exposed. That's key. That's,
well, yeah. I mean, definitely. Myself, I mean, you know, for example, and I think we've talked about this in the past. I use my parents as an example. I mean, my parents did not go to college right out of high school. And, you know, I recall from an economic perspective, you know, coming up, I mean, I'm not going to say that we were poor, but what I will say is that, you know, certainly did not have everything that I, you know, that we wanted to have. And when my parents made the decision that they would go back and go and get their college education, it did make a change for us from an economic perspective as a family. But also the thing that was very, very fortunate for me is that I grew up in a community of education, you know, with people who were I grew up in the community near Virginia State University, where there were other people in the community who were teachers, professors, students. All of that was part of where we were growing up, people who believed in education, who were encouraging to young people, and so that helped to inspire us. And so that was fortunate. And so that also goes back to my example where I was talking about, if you have people who believe in you, who are encouraging you, then that will help you get to the next level.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. And it's important for us to know that we have the power to be those people for those young people. I know I realized when I found that I could have that power, I was overwhelmed myself. It's an amazing thing, and you've done it so well for so long, Dr. Beth, and we appreciate you. Now,
oh, sure. Absolutely.
Peter.
Sure.
And you're the director now for the Scripps Howard Foundation Journalism Fund. No, it's funny. I went to the website. I wanted to mention this because this did something to me. This did something good for my day when I saw it. But I went to the Scripps Howard Foundation's website, and the motto for the Scripps Howard Foundation is, "I do well by doing good." Now, that's said on the website to be a common statement of Charles E. Scripps, which is one of the founders of Scripps Howard Foundation and a longtime board chairman of the E.W. Scripps Company. And his point, I do well by doing good, his point of that was simply, when we enrich the lives of others, our own lives are enriched, which is, I suppose, a great segue from what we were just talking about. So, I know we kind of just talked about it, but what did you know this was the motto? I mean, a lot of times when I join a company, I don't even know what slogans and mottos what the slogans and mottos are. But is this really the heartbeat of the Scripps Howard Foundation, and how what does it say about the Scripps Howard Foundation and your role in the Scripps Howard Foundation? What comes to your mind when you think of these words?
Well, what I would say is that anyone who is fortunate to achieve a level of success and to have means, it's incumbent upon you to help others. And even if you haven't achieved a level of means, it's still incumbent upon you to help others. And that's part of our responsibility as people. And so the Scripps Howard Foundation, you know, really what we believe in is helping others get to another level. I mean, and that, as you were talking about, you know, doing well by doing good, that is our the founding principle of the foundation, and that's evolved over time. And, you know, and another model that we use is giving light and changing lives. And so what that means to me is that providing inspiration, providing education, you know, providing means, financial help, anything that we can do to help people achieve their goals and to get to that next level, that's what we want to do. we believe that there is an internal spirit or desire within people to get to another station in life. And if we can be that extra support to help them get there, then that's our role in the foundation. That's what we believe in. And you, as a student at the Scripps Howard School of Journalism and Communications at Hampton University, you were a beneficiary of that because, you know, that school, we established that school at Hampton back in 2002. We've had a long-standing relationship with Hampton beyond just building the building, but providing opportunities for students, internships, job opportunities, coming in and being present and having Scripps days, and where you're going to have an opportunity to meet professionals from the company, building relationships. That's all part of what, again, providing, giving light and providing opportunities for people to be able to get to another level.
Yeah, you gotta love people and organizations who really consider their sole purpose helping other people. That's just a very, very praiseworthy thing. And I love the other slogan, giving light and changing lives. You know, giving light, I know you defined it. And I also look at giving light as teaching the way you do, and kind of informing. I know the word enlighten simply means to give info, like to give information, like when someone knows something they didn't know before, that's said to be enlightened. So you kind of give light by information. After all, knowledge is power. You're making people powerful by giving them light and changing their lives. And, you know, being at Hampton University and meeting people like you and other people along the way, kind of reinstilled for me what I learned growing up in my church and in my neighborhood, that there's a different brand of people out there. You know, there's a different brand of the world. Like, God made a specific kind of unique form of human being that does not live for fame or money or themselves even, but they just live to give light and to change lives. And that's an amazing thing that we have with the Scripps Howard Foundation. Now, is there anything you would like to leave us with, Dr. Betts? We had an awesome time with you once again. Well, speaking of this, well, economy.
Well, what I would say to you, Eric, in closing, is that if you have a dream to go to another level, if you have an aspiration to be more and to make something more of yourself, then you will find a way. You will find a way to make that happen if you believe enough in yourself. You will be able to break through the barriers. You will seek out the relationships with the proper people. You will ask the right questions. And your spirit will draw people to you who will help you make that way to that next level. Okay? So just believe. Don't allow anything to snuff out your dreams or your aspirations, because anything is possible if you do believe it enough in your heart and in your spirit, and you want to work toward it. The last thing that I would say is, you know, I'm willing to come on at any time and to talk about, you know, goals and life and education and inspiration. That means a lot to me. So I'm always here in any way I can help you guys.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I thank you so much, Dr. Betts. And
you're welcome.
We will definitely carve out a way to bring you back on, part of our crew here, Nick and Eric in the Morning, and Dr. Betinto Betts. Thank you so much. We love Dr. Betts. I'm sure we all love Dr. Betts, everyone who's run across him. Now, listen here. You heard everything you need to hear, people. That is the economy of education. Care, these young people. All right? Now, your destiny is greatness. Your destiny is greatness. Because God did it. And I thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Take care.